Basic Bananas.
Hey there, folks. Welcome back to the Basic Bananas Small Business Marketing Show. This is Christo here once again. And today I have a guest from Flying Solo, is his business, his operation. Robert, are you there?
I am indeed, Christo. Nice to talk to you.
You too, Robert. So we have Robert Gerrish, and Flying Solo has created quite a bit of a name for itself, helping, you know, business owners, entrepreneurs, and all sorts of resources. I'm going to get you to give us the kind of download on what it is and how it works. But just for the listeners, so you know what we're kind of aiming at today and the goal for you guys as our listeners, we're going to cover the topic of how speaking and presenting can help your business, even if you hate it and you know, one of these kind of, don't they say speaking's feared more than death or something like that?
It's very close.
It's very close, something like that. Basically, we're going to go through this. This will be the topic. So as a listener today, you'll walk away with some insights on how speaking and presenting can definitely help your business. Even if you hate it, it's definitely something to be open to. And I'll price some tips and tricks and some insights out of Robert here, because we can get some really good insights. So you'll walk away from today's show with some really good tips and practical things that you can apply to your own business. So give us a little intro on what this whole Flying Solo thing is, Robert.
Sure. Okay. So look, we're a community of Australian solo and micro businesses. So micro is kind of anything up to 4 or 5 people. But the heartland, the majority of our community are people working totally by themselves. And you may or may not know this, but roughly over 70%, 73% of Australian small businesses are solo businesses, so one-person businesses. So it's a very large group, and our reason for being is to supply kind of support and resources for those people. So, you know, as we say, it's kind of work for yourself, but not necessarily by yourself. And we're there to supply, you know, a space where people can meet online, can ask questions, can discuss challenges, can find answers to any issues that they may have in their business. And we publish content every day. So we have a number of expert writers writing on subjects of solo business. So, you know, as you mentioned, it might be marketing, finance, productivity, well-being, all things, anything to do with running a business by yourself. And we've now got a community of a little over 90,000, 91,000, I think. Yeah, that's who we are. So membership is free. You can have a premium membership if you'd like to pay a little bit, and that'll give you a heightened profile. But sort of 99% of our audience are free members, and that's the way we roll.
Awesome. Okay. So, and it's all online resources, or there's kind of on and off, and is there?
Most of it's online. We tend to run webinars every month or so. All our discussion forums are all online. We do get quite involved in events. You know, recently we were down in Victoria doing some work with the Victorian government for their small business festival. So we do get out and about. Probably not quite as much as I'd like us to, but the truth is that people are very busy, and getting people, particularly solo businesses, out of what is often their home as well as their business place to come along to events can be quite a challenge. So, you know, we tend to do more things online, but whenever we can, whenever there's a chance to get out there and do live events, we most certainly do. We ran our own bigish conferences for a few years, but we sort of pulled out of that a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
And concentrate more online. So yeah, we try and mix it up as much as we can there.
Yeah. Okay. And that's all. Is that like Sydney based? Is it Australia wide? Is it global or like?
Right. No, it's totally Australia wide. Not global. We're only interested in Australia. So Australian sellers. Yes. Well, we find that, you know, what we set out to do when we started was to build a really active community, and you know, I would say we've been successful with that, and one of the main reasons is that we have kept our focus very narrow, not just in terms of our sort of geographic reach, but the subjects that we talk about. And I think that for an online forum, which is quite tricky to get a lively online forum really working, very 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 few people manage to do it. We're very fortunate we have managed to do it. And I think one of the key reasons is that we do keep it very much Australian focus. So these are businesses that are going through the same things that, you know, you and I go through, the same restrictions, the same sort of policies and guidelines and all of those things. And we've all got the same goal, which is to grow and build our businesses, whether that's locally or offshore. So it seems to work very well to keep the focus very, you know, very at home.
Gotcha. Keeps it tight. So what would be the kind of common, like most common challenges you'd see? Just so somebody, if they're, you know, driving in their car right now, listening to this, thinking, yeah, great, sounds nice, a community of people, but, you know, I'm trying to get my own stuff done. Or even thinking, you know, I've got a great idea, but I don't want others knowing about it. You know, they're going to copy what I'm doing. Or you know, who's kind of ideal? Like, who should be checking out Flying Solo?
That's a great question. Most of the or a lot of the questions are around marketing. So, you know, it's quite common that solo businesses kind of know what they want to be doing, and they kind of get started and then actually realize that maybe just having a particular skill in delivering some kind of business is not necessarily quite the same as generating business and business development and so on. So there's lots of discussion around marketing, whether that's online or offline marketing. Behind marketing is one of the next kind of biggest challenge really is productivity and time management. So it's just kind of getting it all done. So lots of chatter and discussion about how to work efficiently and effectively. We have a lot of people as well on the forums that are just kicking around ideas and want to get people's opinions. So I take your point about the kind of secrecy thing, but I mean, certainly, I mean, you can, if you like, join the forums. You don't have to use your own real name. You can use an assumed name. You can talk sort of hypothetically about your target market and still get some very useful information. But we find a lot of people as well will put up a website and say, hey, can you give me some feedback on this? Awesome. And they get some very, sometimes very blunt feedback.
Yeah.
But you know, it can be very useful. It's helpful. A great way to... to, you know, kind of test concepts and get people's opinions on things.
So. Yeah, awesome. Okay, can I ask too, like, so how does it make money on your side? Like, so you're the business operation, just so people see us totally transparent. Is it the premium level, and that's how your operation, you know, makes money? If people want the extra kind of value, the extra hand-holding,
we've got a few means of generating revenue. Premium membership is certainly one of them, but the bulk of our revenue actually comes from sponsorship and advertising from the big end of town. So because we've built quite a big community, we now have most of the large corporates, the banks, the telcos, are looking to get the attention of small business. So a lot of our activities we're able to get sponsors and support for. So our webinars come with a sponsor. That doesn't mean that they control the content of the webinar, but they get some branding and awareness, and then we run sort of ads around our site as well. So it's all done in a way that I think, certainly from the community, you know, they soon tell us if there's anything they don't like. And it works, seems to work very efficiently. You know, we think of it as the kind of Robin Hood business model. It works well for our community. It allows us to do what we do. It allows us to give away most of our work. The balance, I think, is about right.
Absolutely. I like it. Is there the odd product placement? Like, just drinking my Pepsi here as I do this interview?
No, we don't do it. No, we don't. We resist all of those things. No, it's all done quite well. I mean, the good thing is about, you know, a model where if you've got an audience that are notoriously difficult to engage, and small, particularly home-based businesses are very difficult to engage. So the fact that we've managed to do that means that we can command a little bit of a premium, and we can set things kind of with our advertisers, you know, at a level that kind of works for us. So,
awesome.
It seems to be pretty good.
Sounds very good. Now let's rip into this whole speaking and presenting thing. So if you want to fire off, give us I'll throw that question at you. The title of the show today, How Speaking and Presenting, you know, Helps Your Business? Over to you.
Okay. Well, look, I think this is just a topic that it's always dear to my heart, and it's one that it's interesting when when I observe what a lot of small businesses are doing, unfortunately, we do spend an awful lot of our time kind of behind our monitors, at our desks, doing our work. And I do feel that some of the opportunities that exist for actually getting out and speaking and presenting, and I know you guys clearly do it a great deal at Basic Bananas, but there's such value in that. And I was talking to a couple of business owners recently who were looking for kind of new ways to promote and just simply hadn't considered speaking to people, you know, getting out and speaking to groups. And I think in this day and age where we tend to measure things it's increasingly in quite large numbers, you know, if we don't have a really powerful reach on Facebook or if we're not really crushing it on Instagram or whatever we're meant to be doing, you know, all these kind of, we tend to talk and hear things mentioned in quite large numbers, which I think is probably why people tend not to put so much focus on kind of small group presentations. But the truth is, if, you know, let's imagine for the sake of this discussion, let's say we're talking to a business consultant, you know, or a business coach who would like to grow his or her business. You know, it's one thing to really build a profile on social media, but there's little that's more powerful than actually getting in a room and talking in front of 10 or 20 people that might be your prospects. You know, the incidence of conversion when people actually get to meet you and see you and hear you is so powerful. And I just worry sometimes that a number of businesses that could be doing this are just kind of not even putting it on their radar.
Mm, absolutely. I agree. I couldn't agree more. It positions you extremely well, doesn't it, as well? The minute you're invited to be a presenter, you're coming in with some sort of authority. Just from the word go, it's kind of like, okay, we'll leave this kind of like group or whatever room you're presenting in front of, definitely positions you absolutely well.
Yeah, and I think of an example of a guy that I know very well and used to do some work with a few years ago, who's a quantity surveyor down in rural Victoria. Mm-hmm. Now, you know, he's a good example. Now, he doesn't enjoy speaking. He absolutely doesn't enjoy public speaking. The thought of standing up and talking to people, you know, it kind of fills him with fear. It's not what he wants to be doing. But within his business, you know, his target market as a quantity surveyor are architects. Now, architects are very difficult people to get the attention of, and a quantity surveyor trying to get the attention of an architect, very difficult. They're very busy people, and architects need quantity surveyors, but they don't necessarily feel they need to build much of a relationship with quantity surveyors. You know, when they need one, they'll ring the person that they know. So for my friend Jeffrey, his challenge was, how do I grow my business to architects when it's just so hard to kind of get their attention? Well, if he announced that he was running a presentation talking about quantity surveying, nobody's going to turn up. It's not going to work.
Yeah.
You know, no one's really interested.
Boring.
They kind of think, yeah, boring, boring. But what he did, what he found out by talking to a number of his architect clients is that, lo and behold, their big challenge was how to find more customers.
Mm.
So what Jeffrey did is he thought, okay, so what he started doing, he runs them every quarter, every 3 months or so, is he runs little presentations around the area in which he works, and he puts on a marketing evening once a quarter. And he will invite somebody. There's plenty of marketing people who like to speak about marketing. Hey, there's two of us here today, Christo.
Yeah.
You know, the thought of...
And we could go on for weeks, couldn't we?
There are plenty of people who like to talk about marketing.
Yep.
So what Jeffrey does is he hosts a marketing event every 3 months. He puts it on. He finds a location. He has some little sandwiches and drinks. And he fills the room with his ideal clients. And someone else is doing the speaking, but Jeffrey's the one who's building the relationship. Now, that's a really powerful way to use public speaking, even if you're not doing it yourself. So even if you hate speaking, if you can still work, you know, get clear on what are the hot buttons for your customers, what are the things they really need to hear about, then you can host the event. You know, and that's quite different to necessarily having to do everything yourself. So that's a kind of a starting point. And I think if you get, you know, into a situation where you've got 10 or 20 of your customers in a room, you know, that's got to be good for business. And that's really how you start to grow things. And then hopefully you might start to develop the skills and actually do some of the speaking yourself.
Absolutely. Yeah, very good. That's a really cool. I love it. It's a really nice way to look at it. You don't even have to do it. You bring in others, and you probably bring in people who are, you know, way further along, like more advanced than you are if you're just starting out with it. So you're going to learn from them, and you're going to learn at a lot more, you know, rapid rates by having them in the room and kind of presenting, even just doing it, you know. Then you could phase yourself in, couldn't you? You could introduce them just to begin with. Then you might do a co-present, you know, down the track, or do they have a segment, you have a segment.
Yeah, absolutely. And look, and I think the thing as well is that, you know, with resources like meetup.com, which I'm sure a number of your listeners will be familiar with, you know, meetup.com, anybody who's not spent time looking at that, it's an astonishing kind of network of meetings that go on all around the world on every topic you can possibly imagine. Now, what you've got there is a very, very large group of people who are looking to connect with other people that have similar interests. So it's not that when we get into public speaking that we need to think, okay, how am I going to get in front of an existing small business group that's got, you know, 100 people in it or something. That's a little way down the track before you're likely to get invited to speak somewhere. But what you can do is start to create your own small meetup group. You know, I went to one about a year ago with a young guy around here who was getting started as a meditation practitioner, you know, helping people learn how to meditate. Now, before he started his meetup group, he was, you know, having quite a lot of problems finding people who were interested in using him to help them meditate. You know, it's quite a big, it's a very small audience. It's quite hard to get heard within this new-ish kind of space of helping people meditate. So he set up a meetup group, which is basically a free thing. It didn't cost anybody any money. Come along for a free guided meditation that he would do outdoors, so no venue to book or anything, once every 2 weeks, I think it was. And I was with that group for a little while, and I saw it grow from 3 or 4 people up to 15 or 20 people. Now, and that's just a very casual thing. It's no one's paying any money, so expectations are quite reasonable as well. But as a way to kind of get some runs on the board and to get comfortable with talking to people, to be able to discuss, you know, the things that you want to discuss and listen to people who clearly have an interest in what it is you're trying to do, it's a wonderful way to get started. And then you can be, once you get into that kind of place as a starting point, it's then quite easy to say, okay, well, you know, you might like to know that next month I'm running a little retreat and there is a little bit of money involved in this one. We're going to go here and we're going to do this. You know, you can start to grow and build, you know, some kind of revenue and greater profile, but by starting out initially as a free service.
Absolutely. I like this. There's some really good tips just for getting started straight away without even having, yeah, exactly. You don't have to have any real credibility on the board or anything at this stage to get started with those. Definitely. The whole thing too with this whole, as soon as you, like, we do a lot of presenting, just the, you know, the like you said at the start of the call, I just want to drum that in again as just a really good point you made, where it's for getting the exposure and advancing the relationship with people, even if it is 20 people or 15 people in the room. It would be like the equivalent of, like, I don't, it's hard to say, but like, say they saw a cold ad and they saw you put an advertisement up. It was the first time they seen it. It'd be like the equivalent of them seeing like 20 of your ads, wouldn't it? It's like the familiarity that they build with you as the business representative is huge. It'd be like as if they've interacted and got to know you on social media, you know, over quite a period of time and seen your ads. It could be the equivalent of a huge expense if you looked at it that way. You know, it's hard. I can't do the exact maths on what that would be, but it's. It would be like interacting with someone on social media for months, like I believe, because people straight away want to talk to you. They know you. They might remember you forever.
Yeah.
just from that one presentation.
Yeah, and look, and I think it depends largely on the kind of nature of your business. But if you're in a business where you're providing, let's say, professional services, and a lot of your business transactions may be ones that run over a number of weeks or potentially months, you know, so if you, whether that you might be a designer, you might be a business coach, you might be a writer, any number of areas you could be working in professional services. But if you've got a relationship that generally can turn into something that has quite a duration, then if you think of that from the potential customer's point of view, they really attach a great deal of importance, not just on how you deliver the service that you deliver, but who you are as a person. Like, do I want to work with this person kind of in my business for a couple of hours, potentially 4 months? You know, and if you're starting work with a designer, that person is going to potentially be very important to your business and is someone you're going to have a lot of interaction with. So you really want to know them. Now, the great thing about presenting any of these kind of small business speaking events is you really do get to see the person. You get to see what they really feel about things, how they respond to questions, how they react to, you know, kind of audience involvement. You know, you really start to get to know the person. And when I was building my coaching business back in, you know, 2000, and I would basically go and speak to any small group I could get in front of, any small group. And I was starting my own small groups, or I'd go to existing ones at business enterprise centers or chamber of commerce or whatever. And every single time I did it, every time, I would have two or three people would kind of sidle up to me at the end and say, hey, can I talk to you? Can we have a conversation about something? Now, that's a pretty good return. If every time I'm going out, I'm getting potentially three or four clients that are immediately interested in doing business with me, let alone the other 20 or 30 who might be there that hopefully will go off and talk to other people. Mm. You know, it's a wonderfully powerful thing to be doing. And every time you do it, you're growing in confidence, you're learning new skills, you're hearing more of the kind of opportunities that are out there and the needs for the work that you do. It's just such a powerful thing to get started on.
Absolutely. Now, you mentioned a couple of other things in there, so I'm sure the listeners will be thinking, okay, where else can I go? So maybe let's try and rattle off a list of places you could go, get started. Like you mentioned, Business Enterprise Center, Chambers of Commerce. So far also you said meetups, creating meetups or checking for other people's meetups. What else?
Meetup.com is very good. Business Enterprise Centers, Chambers of Commerce. I mean, once you start to consider going into the speaking space, then it's actually quite amazing how many different locations and possibilities exist once you start to look a little bit closer. So if you're, it's even worth dropping into your local library and having a look at some activities that they run. Often libraries will have gatherings of on a regular basis, and they'll at the very least probably have a room that you can use if that's where you're thinking of doing your thing. So just starting to have a look around. The other thing you can do is actually just, if you're building a bit of a social media network, if you've already got quite a nice following on Facebook, then you can just float one up yourself and say, okay, I'm doing, you know, second week in September, I'm having an informal presentation. Anyone who'd like to come along, let me know. You can start getting something going yourself. And I think that's often where the value really lies, is where you actually create your own thing. Or you can go into an existing, I mean, again, it depends so much on the nature of your business, but I've had also in the past quite success at going to corporate buildings and saying, hey, I would like to come and talk to some of your middle management staff about entrepreneurship or about how to work productively. Could I come along on a Friday afternoon and present to you, to, you know, maybe a room full of your staff, or, you know, a number of them? And those sort of things can really work as well, where you offer it as a service to other businesses. So you might go to a yoga practice. If you know that a yoga studio has 10 or 15 teachers in there, you might offer to go and do a little talk for those teachers. You know, you can create your own events. But again, it depends on the nature of your business as to what's going to work for you. But a challenge that I will often set people to thinking about this is just imagine a room with 20 of your ideal people in the room, who would they be?
Yeah.
And if you actually sit down there and try and describe exactly who those people are, then you can start to think, okay, so where am I going to find those people? You know, it might, schools are another great place that you can do it. They're always looking for fundraising activities and activities that can support the parents, particularly some of the smaller public schools. You know, it can be a great way to do little presentation evenings for parents of, you know, again, depending on what the nature of your business is.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I couldn't agree more. And like an example of that one even is ourselves at Basic Bananas. Years ago when we were starting, or about 8 years ago or so, around 8 years ago, I was looking for everything I could speak at as well. This is one of the things that helped us obviously grow quite rapidly over the years. And so I did exactly as you've mentioned. I was like, okay, where are people that are, you know, wanting to grow their businesses? So I looked at even things like natural therapy colleges, and so I approached them and went and presented that. Like, of course, not everybody says yes, but I just made a spreadsheet and called up like 20 natural therapy colleges. Not our ideal, kind of a bit more, you know, have a business underway, but if people are willing to go for, you know, in the early days. And I was looking at that thinking, well, there's people that are, you know, starting their own businesses as a natural therapist of some kind. And so they're obviously going to need to be able to market the thing. So then I went along and just created a spread list, started calling them, started emailing them, and they were stoked. Like, one thing I think people don't recognize is that people want you to come if you, you know, and you forget how little the rest of the world knows about your area of expertise. Sometimes you think you might have to present the world's most amazing, crazy, you know, insight that no one's ever heard of. But to be honest, most of the world, it's just often we know our own stuff too well.
Absolutely.
So
yeah. Look, I think those examples you gave, I mean, that's terrific. That's exactly the way, you know, that that you can start out. Again, it's clearly you had a very a very good picture of who your ideal client was, and you worked out exactly where they were going to be. The other thing you can do is, and we see this happening quite a lot on Meetup, and we used to run some of our own sort of flying solo meetups before Meetup.com basically took over and did a much better job. But it's not so much as well that you need to feel that it's your job to kind of stand at the front of the room and do a big presentation. It may be that, again, particularly for those people listening who really don't like the thought of public speaking, it may be that what your role is, a little bit more like my friend Jeffrey I mentioned a while ago, is to be the facilitator. So you can start this little small group meetup that might just meet in a local cafe and just talks about issues of small business. You know, how do we market our small businesses? Let's get five of us together once a week and come up with a marketing idea, each of us. Now, what you're doing, though, just by being the person that is the center of that and is the organizer of that, is you're putting yourself in a very nice position. And the thing that I think a lot of small businesses can lose sight of is that no matter what we might do on social media and all the other activities that we might do, by far the greatest contributor to business development, to new leads, is word of mouth. It always has been, and there's nothing yet is changing it. I mean, social media is accelerating it, but word of mouth, that is someone talking about you to somebody else, is still by far the greatest source of business growth. And so by putting yourself in a position where you have half a dozen people on a regular basis that know you and that can see what you do and how you do it, is definitely going to be helping your word of mouth. But too often we find we're speaking to businesses who are just sitting behind their computers in their offices on social media and thinking that that's enough. Well, I'll give you one example of a guy. I live over in Sydney in the east side, and there's a slightly crazy guy who hangs around outside one of the local train stations with a big sandwich board, you know, board on his back and his front, and he's ever so slightly completely wacky.
Awesome.
And this guy is not actually selling anything. He is purely sort of spreading the word of joy and happiness. But I sit on the bus sometimes on my way into the city, and I see this guy, And he's there most mornings. He's got a little dog on a lead, and he just stands there, and he's just smiling and waving and talking to people. Now, in the course of the time that my bus sits in traffic and limps past him, I think I've counted him engage with probably half a dozen people and have a conversation with half a dozen people in the time it takes my bus just to cruise past in traffic. Mm. Now, you just think how many people on social media actually have even that level of engagement.
Yeah.
And this is in a period of a few minutes. And it's very easy when we're doing so much stuff online that we forget the value of actually getting out and talking and meeting to people. Now, that guy's not a business person, but he could be. He could be someone there who's standing there saying, hey, I help people improve their productivity. Here's my little postcard on productivity tips. Please have a read of it on the train as you go to work. Now, if you're even doing something as simple as that and as old school and as old fashioned as that, it can do so much to grow your profile and to grow your word of mouth. Because people are actually seeing you and getting a sense of who you are. And we don't get so much of that from our social media activity.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Very good. Now, a whale, actually, a massive whale just jumped out here. I'm looking out over the ocean.
It's just
giving me a big wave. Either that or an aeroplane just drove up from under the water and went back under.
Right. Let's hope it's a whale.
Yeah, let's hope it's a whale. It's a massive whale. Very cool. Now, just before we kind of come to a close, what if somebody's so there's certain people that'll, you know, hear this and they've probably had it in the back of their mind thinking, I've got to get out there and just do it. And so now they've got some great ideas of where to go. What if they're kind of thinking about it, but they think, well, I don't know how to speak and put it together. Like, what do you think with these? Should they do some sort of course? Should they go and watch other people? Should they, should they get speaker training, or what do you think here?
Okay, well, that's a good question. The answer is probably all of the above. I mean, in this day and age, there is no reason not to be able to understand how to kind of do as good a job of this as possible. YouTube is full of some very good videos on public speaking. National Speakers Association exists still. What's the other one where you can go? I'll come to me in a second. If you're going to immerse yourself in the subject.
Toastmasters or something like that.
Toastmasters. Now, Toastmasters has been going forever. And it's still a good way, I believe, for people just to build their confidence a little. And as you said, certainly go and watch people is very useful. But the thing I found is that when you find what it is you really want to talk about, an awful lot of the concern of speaking dissipates. It's when if you're not clear what it is you want to say or who you want to say it to, that's when it can be very, very difficult. Mm. But I think if you start to immerse yourself in the topic a little bit, watch some videos on it. We've got some great articles on how to present effectively as well. But whilst you're doing all of that, I would say just get started. Now, that might be meeting four people and just sitting around a table having a general chat, and just work out what is it that people are really interested in hearing from you. Now, I remember many years ago, I worked in advertising on the other side of the world, and I was the final thing that got me to kind of chuck my job in was I was running this business. We were part of Saatchi & Saatchi, big worldwide agency, and they said to me, would you come and present at this conference for 500 Castrol, which is an oil product, Castrol sales reps? And my heart sank, and I just thought, there is no way I want to go and talk about advertising to a number of Castrol oil reps. And that was the final kind of straw that broke the camel's back, and I kind of quit and left and went and started my eyes. I'm not going to do this. But what's interesting is since then I've spoken to, you know, crowds of many, many hundreds, you know, 1,500 mortgage brokers and so on. And I love it. But the difference is I love it because I have total belief in the subject that I'm talking about.
Yeah.
And that, I think, is the difference. Is once you absolutely find what it is that you really want to talk about, and you find an audience that want to listen to what you want to talk about, then public speaking becomes something joyous. truly joyous. And so if it's a wrench, though, if you're pushing yourself to talk about something that's in your heart you don't really feel you want to talk about, it's very different. You know, and I'm sure, you know, Christo, when you're up there talking about marketing, you love it. You know, marketing is every sort of cell in your body is committed to marketing. So you're never, ever going to find it difficult to stand up and talk about marketing. Yeah. You know, when I go out with my wife, if we go to someone's wedding or an event, and she sees there's a microphone at the front of the room, she always says, no, you can't get up and speak. You can't. You're not. This. We're here as a, you know, we're in the wedding reception. You're not speaking. But I, you know, if I see a microphone in a room full of people, I want to go and speak. And when that's when you get to that level, it just becomes effortless.
Yeah, yeah. I couldn't agree more. It's like I could talk about marketing, you know, with my eyes closed on no notes and go on and on and on because I'm crazy, you know, a bit mad about it. And very passionate about it as well. But I couldn't agree more. If it was a topic I wasn't, you know, really aware of or something, or the wrong crowd that's not interested, you know, it's like, oh, it could be very awkward. Like, I don't think a lot of people say to me, wow, you're such an amazing presenter, and wow, you present so amazing well at the workshops and things and when we speak. However, I don't even think that was something that came naturally to me to begin with. Like, it's not who I am. I don't like I don't go out wanting like to just stand up and be the center of attention in front of a room. But when it's on, exactly as you said, when it's on the topic, the right topic, you can't shut me up, basically.
Well, it's that phrase, you can't shut me up. That's a great one, because, you know, that's a comment that is often made by people when they find themselves really kind of in the flow. They're talking about what they want to talk about to the right people. I've often met people like that, and at the end of it, you know, they said, oh my God, you just couldn't shut me up. I didn't want to stop talking. And that's often from someone who's never enjoyed speaking. So, but once you find the topic and you find the audience, and that might take time, but it's what I hope people get from, you know, from this conversation, is to start putting in the time, is that when you get to that spot, then suddenly everything just becomes really easy and really powerful.
Brilliant. Very good. So thank you so much. This has been awesome.
Pleasure.
Some gold nuggets in here for our audience, for the listeners. Is there anything, I don't want to cut you off, if there was some sort of final word you wanted to say in the closing, or is there, if there was anything that I've kind of pushed you over, was there anything like that?
Otherwise, well, I'll tell you what, there's one little thing I'll just say, because the important thing is when you're speaking, and for people that are might already be doing it or hopefully going to get started, is making sure that you do have some means of ideally building a relationship with people who are in the room. So some kind of call to action.
Yes.
And I've sat in so many talks and watched people who've had a room full of people who are really interested in what they're talking about, only to lose them all at the end. Mm. You know, the talk finishes and everybody files out the door. Mm. And that's no good. And what I've realized over the years as well, it's not enough just to have your website address come up on the last slide if you're using slides, you know, because the shift from sitting in a room to typing in a website, it's quite a big jump, and not many people do it. If you're speaking at a conference, you're possibly one of, you know, a dozen other speakers. So by the end of the day, they've forgotten who you are. So what we need is a means by which people in the room willingly give you permission to make contact with them. And the one thing that I've personally used, and I continue to use, and its simplicity never ceases to amaze me, is I just have a little, I make sure whatever I speak about, I have a handout of some sort. One little, just a single sheet, usually something that's left on a chair. It might even just be a feedback form that asks people what they thought of the presentation. But I'll always have a handout of some description. And on the back of that, I'll put a blank post-it note. And right at the end of my talk, I'll say, right, if anybody would like to hear more of the work that we do, would love to be a free member of our community, please just put your email address on that little post-it note, or stick the post-it note on your business card so that I know I have your permission, and just leave it on your chair. And whenever I do that, and I do it pretty well, do it every single time, I would say 90% of people in the room willingly leave me their email address. And I simply walk around afterwards, pick them all up, and there I have permission to contact all those people. Now, that might sound very simple, very basic, but my goodness, it works.
Yeah, no, and basic and effective sounds good to me.
Yeah. And there are so many people that will talk at an event and leave and then be disappointed that three people out of a room full of 50 ever visited their website. Whereas if you're using a little tool like that, you can find that 47 people out of 50, you now have contact details and you can talk to them.
Yeah, absolutely. Because maybe for people, there's going to be people who want to become, say, like a customer at different points in time. So at least you can build a relationship. There might be someone in the room that buys straight away. There might be someone that's going to take 3 months before they make a decision, but at least they'll remember you because now you can stay in contact.
Absolutely, definitely.
It's a good idea. We do one similar too, where we'll have a list and we'll say, here's a list. And rather than saying, you know, here's a list, it's on the side of the room on this desk, you know, put your name down there if you want it, we'll actually hand it around. So say during the presentation, here you go. If you'd like to get our fortnightly tips and tricks that we send out by video, simply just put your name, email. If you want to add your phone on here, we'll get in touch. But simply name, email. We'll send you those fortnightly tips. You can always unsubscribe, blah, blah, blah. And then I'll just hand it to the first person. Say, so you just pop your name, pretty much just tell them. Pop your name and email on there, and then just hand it on to the next person. If you guys just hand that around, and then we'll collect it at the back.
I think that's a great way to do it. And I think we've, you know, in many cases, we've got so much to learn from the church. You know, when they when they ask for collections at the end, if they just had a bowl at the back of the church and said, "Please leave something as you go," they wouldn't get very much.
Exactly.
They pass a little thing up and down every aisle. Yeah. That works. You know, the person next to me gave something.
Social proof.
Totally.
Absolutely. Just on this, in the finishing one, just as one last thing. So you get to the end, and typically you'll say, because for your, you know, your organization, you'll say, look, if you want to get our, you know, stay in touch or get more, you know, more info from us and join the community, put your details down. If it's someone that's trying to sell something, so they get to the end and they want to sell it, like this is what we do. Obviously, we offer things at the end of the room. Just anything around that, like just, I know sometimes I see people completely cock it up where it'll be, you know, like they get kind of, they're really friendly and awesome and they're giving this value, teaching for like 90% of the content. And then the last 10%, they'll switch over to sell and they suddenly get all jittery and nervous and clunky. what are your... I know you might be slightly different, obviously, in your world, but if there's anything on that one, just the transition, like I've thought to mine, but just...
Well, I think, yeah, look, I've seen people who have really mastered it, but I've seen a lot more that fit into the category that you described, Christo, where it's messy and clunky and you feel like you want to go home and have a shower.
Yeah.
I think it depends how your presentation has been designed. If you're very much designing a free presentation that turns into a purchase or a sell at the end, then clearly that needs to be really considered all the way through so that when you get to the end, it's not a kind of a jarring motion. And that's what I think you're describing is a number of occasions people get to the end and they try and sell and it doesn't work. Personally, I think in most cases, if you're running a free presentation or a low-cost presentation, then it might be that your next step is something that might have another element of free in it. Like if you've enjoyed what you've been hearing about today, I would like to invite you to take part in a webinar that we're running next week that will explore some of these topics a little further. But I should tell you that if you attend that webinar, we're going to be talking to you about a course that we run that does have a bit of a financial commitment related to it. Yeah, so just kind of presenting it in a way to let people know there's a stepping stone. If you come to the next stage with us, we are going to be talking about something that does, you know, does cost some money. Right. Personally, I would tend to go that way rather than trying to get a room full of people who aren't expecting to be sold to then suddenly buy. I mean, it's different. It depends, again, what you're selling. If you're selling a $20 book, then that's not much of a jump. But if you're moving from a presentation to trying to sell them a personal training program that's a commitment for many hundreds of dollars or something, then that's a bit of a step. It might be that your next thing is you do a free outdoor class for a group of people.
Yeah, come to a group training.
Do it in steps, I think.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. Come to a one-to-one, or let's book in for an assessment of your, you know, like loan yeah. requirements if you're doing,
absolutely.
You know,
lending. Assessments, or, one-to-one's a great way to do yeah. it. Great way to do it.
Or a discount on a something if you were selling a $20 item, you know, grab it today for $15 if you want to grab it right now as a yep. gift for having me.
Definitely. I think when I was doing my coaching, I'm remembering back to when I was talking in support of that. Often what it would be exactly that. It would be come to a free 30-minute trial call where we'll look more closely at your business. And you'd find that the people that would take that up would be the people that are serious and that are willing to go to the next stage. So conversion rates from that was always very high.
Brilliant. Awesome. Awesome. Well, thank you very much, Robert. And thanks for being so open and sharing so freely with all of our audience. So for people to find out more and check out the Flying Solo community, where should they go?
Yeah, just look, flyingsolo.com.au. Just dive on there on the homepage and you'll see what we're about. If you'd like to join us, please do. There's join buttons all over the place. And yeah, we'd love to have you aboard.
Brilliant. Absolutely. Sounds like a bit of a no-brainer to me for a lot of the listeners. So flyingsolo.com.au, and I will whack that link into the show notes on basicbananas.com as well. Thank you once again for being on the call, Robert.
Thank you. Very valuable. I hope the whale is still performing for you.
It's disappeared, as they do. and of course, our listeners, make sure you do share. Please go ahead and share this episode with anyone you know who you know would, of course, you know, get value out of this. It might be yourself, might be someone you know, might be a colleague who would, you know, find great value in these tips and tricks, and also letting them know about the podcast once again. And always, your feedback is always extremely valued by us. So please go ahead, post any thoughts or comments or anything that you would like to hear in the future. And all those reviews on iTunes, they always help us to reach a further audience. So thank you very much once again. Thanks, Robert.
Thank you. Thanks, Chris.
Basic Bananas.